This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. Remember your favorite teacher? I have a few, but my first great teacher was in preschool, Miss Shirley. She was one of the first cheerleaders of my artwork. And now, here I am in this artistic journalism space, partially because of her. There's something about the good educators, the ones who encourage you to lean into your talents and be the best version of yourself. Helene Achanzar knows a little something about this. She's the director of programs at the Chicago Poetry Center, and much of her job is to introduce students to poetry. Part of the reason she does this work is because of the great educators she had as a youngin. April is National Poetry Month, so today we're going to get into Helene's story as a poet, which she originally told to my colleague Ari Mejia at our sister station, Vocalo. Helene starts off with her childhood in Chicago. She left and then came back. And she says the changes in the city are always on her mind and in her writing.
My name is Helene Achanzar. I'm a poet and the director of programs at the Chicago Poetry Center. And this is what Chicago sounds like. I was born just outside of Vancouver, British Columbia. And I grew up in Hyde Park and Portage Park and Albany Park. It was great. You know, all three of those neighborhoods are really different. And because Hyde Park was my first home in Chicago, it definitely still feels like home for me. When I think about my childhood and all of my favorite memories, they all take place in Hyde Park. So it's where I love and where I feel most at home in the city. I've always written, like ever since I was a young person. I mean, like middle school, maybe a little bit earlier. I think it was one of the ways that I found that I could express myself for free. There were other things that I was interested in. Like I loved the idea of being a figure skater, and I just wasn't very good at it. And I was lucky to have a mother who, if I was into something or wanted to try something, she would be like, yes, okay, let's try it. And I think when it came to poetry, it was just something that I could always do and not have to worry about enrolling in a class or like learning outside of my own curiosity and reading. I didn't even really think that poetry would be part of my future. I thought I would be a French teacher. I was very lucky to have great French teachers all throughout my Chicago public school experience, and they really inspired me to want to do that too. Going to the University of Iowa, I was surrounded by incredible people within different literary fields, not just creative writing, but literary translation. And I think it was being in that environment that really gave me the idea that poetry could be part of my life and that I could lead a literary life. When I went away to undergrad and when I went away to graduate school, both experiences were out of state. And both times, I felt such a deep, deep homesickness. You know, of course, like when you're from here, it's easy to be like, oh, I can't wait to get out of here. But every time I left, I kept thinking, like, I really don't want Chicago to change without me. I don't want it to change without me being there to see it happen. And now that I'm back, and then I moved back here in 2020 at the height of lockdown, something else is happening. I'm feeling this thing that was really hard for me to describe or really hard for me to understand. But through some Googling, I found what it is that I might be feeling. There's this philosopher who coined the term solastalgia. The philosopher's name is Glenn Albrecht. And this idea of solastalgia is that you are at home, but you're still feeling a sort of homesickness. The way that solastalgia is described is really related to climate change, from what I understand. But I think the way that I'm experiencing solastalgia is partially that, but also partially is just like seeing all of my old favorites gone. You know, you see it all the time in like Chicago architecture and all of these old historic buildings being torn down to make these totally soulless new developments. And all of the things that have made Chicago really distinct and given it character, that's all being sort of wiped clean by industry and in the name of progress. And it just makes me really sad that this place, the city that I love so much, the city that's my home, is in some ways becoming faceless. You know, there's still so much character and so much to do here. But when I think about the discomfort that I feel and the sadness and homesickness that I feel while being in the city that I love and that I want to be in, you know, I think this word soulistalgia really helps me name what it is that is so distressing. I think especially when I was living outside of Chicago, there was always this yearning to not just be back, but to also understand it differently. And so I've written about Chicago a bit. I try not to conflate my feelings about the way that Chicago is changing to like wanting to desperately hold on to my youth and like being like, oh, well, my favorite bar is gone and it's because of environmental degradation. You know, I don't mean to say that at all, but, you know, but I do think there is a way that we will always sort of look at the past with rose-colored glasses. And I don't want to say that all new development in Chicago is bad, but I really do want to think about the ways that our environment is changing and how it's happening both incrementally and what feels like so quickly right in front of us, and how it feels both weird and also right to yearn for Chicago, even while being in Chicago. The city is very much a city of artists, not just poets and writers, but theater artists and dancers and musicians. And there's such a rich cultural history here, and there's no shortage of folks to take inspiration from. Some of the poets I love most are from Chicago. And I think even beyond that, like having world-class institutions like the Art Institute and the, you know, Lyric Opera, that really helps fuel the rest of the art-making process, I think. Growing up, one of my favorite poets was Lee Young Lee, and really still is. And I, you know, when I think about Chicago poets who have really got me writing and who have really informed my work both then and now, I think about him. After my undergraduate experience, I stopped writing for about a decade. And in that time, I was living and working in Chicago, and I didn't really feel like I had a community here. I've always known lots of poets, but they are all over the country. And, you know, it's wonderful to have that community. But I, you know, was desperately seeking a group of poets to write with and to know here. Then I went away to grad school. I lived in Mississippi for 3 years, came back, and started working for the Chicago Poetry Center. And I think that's where I was really able to find more folks who were interested in writing the way that I was interested in writing. So, you know, I think about S. Yarberry, who runs a series out of the P.O. Box Collective. And their work is incredible, both as an organizer and community member and also as a poet. If you are willing to put yourself out there, there is a literary community for you, especially in Chicago, and especially in poetry. So at the Chicago Poetry Center, as the director of programs, I help manage the education programs in Chicago Public Schools. And we do poetry residencies and performances and workshops in Chicago schools for students of all ages. Finding this job at the height of the pandemic, like during lockdown, was really a dream come true. Like many, I don't love work, but if I have to work, I feel like this is my dream job because it really exists at the intersection of my two passions, poetry and education programming. Bringing opportunities to students the same way I had opportunities as a CPS kid. I think about the teaching artists who were part of my upbringing, and so many of them are part of my life now. One of my teaching artists, when I was in high school in a spoken word program, when I went to grad school, sent me, I didn't have a laptop at the time, so he sent me like a refurbished laptop as a gift, just to say like, way to go, you can do this. And he has remained a friend and mentor all of these years. And so I think about, you know, the teaching artists across the city who, you know, sure feel like they might have like a teaching gig here and there, but really don't know the impact that they have on young people. Getting to meet an artist as a student or as a young person, I think can really change the trajectory of someone's life.
This episode was produced by Ari Mejia at WBEZ's sister station, Vocalo. It's a part of their Shy Sounds Like series. You can learn more about Helene and get into the other profiles of Chicago artists, activists, and changemakers at vocalo.org/shysoundslike. And that's it for today. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.